Good to go. Excellent. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like and follow and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And today I have another amazing guest. I'm really excited to have her on because we've been communicating back and forth for maybe a year or so, at least over a year. And we both share a passion of sciences. Of course, I always say science is my first love. I'm really happy to have her on because she's a great platform. She's a great company, all about STEM education. And so this is what we're going to be talking about today and all the changes that need to happen in our education system. So thank you so much. I have the lovely Dr. Sonali Dasgupta with me today. She is the owner, founder of STEM Monster, and I will have her kind of go through that. But before we get started, again, thank you for joining me today, Sonali. And before we get started, can you kind of tell us a little bit about your story and how you got to where you are today?
Thank you so much, Danielle. I'm really, really excited to be here today. We've been talking, as you said, for more than a year, and it's just been a pleasure. It doesn't feel like we're talking for the first time. And it's been a pleasure and honor to know about all the work that you do. So, yeah, happy to be here and excited to share what we've been doing at STEM Monsters Education. So for everybody, I'll share very quickly, as Danielle suggested, share a little story. So the story is, I'm a research scientist turned educator. So I spent about 14 odd years, 14, 15 odd years in the field of applied research at various places across the world. And then once I returned to India in the latter part of 2019, just before COVID wreaked havoc over everybody's lives, I kind of came back, and I started the STEM Monsters Education. So the purpose of STEM Monsters Education is to bring get children and young adults excited about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics through hands-on experiences and giving them the skill sets needed for them to adapt and thrive in the world tomorrow that is going to be dictated by STEM by a I'm pretty sure in a major way. So
Yes.
yeah, that's the story.
That's great. And yeah, you're absolutely right. This definitely, we hear a lot more about STEM, especially on this side of the planet, but you know, they're pushing STEM, STEAM, when you add the arts to it as well. And a lot, not a lot of people understand why is this such a big thing, but we'll get into that as well. To be competitive on a global scale, and then we do need the elements that we get out of STEM. And you're a big advocate about some of the changes that need to happen in the education system. You're living it yourself with your daughter and working with children. You see that the children are not getting that motivation or the passion to learn. You just kind of focus on grades and you know, moving on to the next grade. So can you kind of what do you see in your experience? Because you are in schools, you are working with children. What are some of the challenges we are facing right now with our education systems?
I think the biggest challenge we have in the education system is we have evolved as a society, but our education system has not. So we are still doing the same things we were doing 100 years ago during, or maybe even more than that, during the Industrial Revolution, and we are teaching the same way. However, the needs of the society as an adult, what it expects out of a student once they go into the career landscape and start working, have changed drastically. So the biggest problem that I feel the education system has now, I wouldn't even call it a problem. I would say it's the thing that is missing, the most important thing missing from the education system is we should question ourselves, are we really helping our students become not even smart? I don't want to use the word smart. Are we helping our students become equipped with the skill sets that they will need once they step out into the world? Or are we just telling them these are the knowledge bases that you need to cover in terms of subjects, and that is all they have at the end of it? Which, by the way, I have to bring this up, even ChatGPT can do for us, the generative AI can do for us. We don't want our students to be a walking, talking model of facts. And unfortunately, that's where it's ending up. And that is the biggest issue that is concerning the education system, not just in your part of the world, I would say everywhere around the world. It has just not evolved to help our students thrive.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
And it is across the globe. It's not just, when I first started
yes.
working, I thought really it was just a North American side, because there's some challenges there as well to keep up with the rest of the world. But I realized once the world opened up to everybody that it's across the board. Everybody's kind of struggling with that, where we have students or very, very intelligent adolescents, even, or young adults that come out, but they're not ready for the workforce. They're just, like you said, they're just walking, facts. We just pushed information down their throats, but didn't teach them what to do with that or how to make it evolve. So what do you think, from your experience, what should the focus be on right now in terms of school, but not just in schools, but for parents as well, who are kind of trying to keep their children motivated through all of this? Where should we put that focus?
That's a very, very interesting question, Danielle, because the students, when they before even they become young adults, when does somebody really do well in what they're doing as an adult? It is when they are interested in what they're doing. So the most important thing that a child or a student should have is an interest in what they are doing. Because what's happening right now, the education system is helping us create this. I use the word create in apostrophe, like helping us create these adults or young adults who have absolutely no idea what they are doing. They are not really sure why they are doing it. And unless that why is answered for an individual, they essentially become followers. They do not become thinkers and leaders. And what we need is leaders, because the world is going to a place where we need solutions that we can't even think of. The problems that we'll face cannot be solved by an army of followers. It has to be solved by innovators and free thinkers. So coming back to your question of what should be the focus, I believe the focus should be on helping the students develop the mindset to learn. At the same time, also to be able to connect the dots between what they are studying and the world around them. Only then can they use their knowledge to solve for a problem. Because ultimately, you, I, all of us, all that we are doing is trying to solve for a problem and find solutions. And they can do that only when they have the mindset to learn along with the interest in the topic. So, as an education system or as a parent, the biggest focus should be to do what it takes to get these students to love learning, keep their curiosity alive, and also at the same time build their foundational learning where they are loving to learn. So that is, in my opinion, the most important thing that students should have.
Yeah, you're right. And even as adults, that's what we should have to keep ourselves motivated. But you're so right that we do need leaders, and any leaders right now would be a world leader, because that world is opened up to our children. It's not something that we necessarily had as an option when we were growing up, but our children do have that option now. And what everything we do affects the globe now. It's not just affecting our community, it affects the world. So I think I like the fact that you mentioned that we need to give them the tools to know what they're doing with this. And there's such a diverse field, even in just one topic, in one subject, so many other things than just, being a biologist, being in the lab. It's not that there's so many other options now that we open up. And
Absolutely.
this is what I like with the programs that you have, is you show the students what the options, and you're giving them concrete examples that they actually can get their hands into it. And it could be whether it's in robotics or anything like that. And you just keep them with these open-ended questions so that they have to think and start working that muscle. So I think it's
I was
great.
just saying, all these subjects and everything that we talk about, it's human made. The nature doesn't understand this is physics, chemistry, biology, maths. It
So
is what
true.
it is, right? So you need to help the students look into the interconnected world. Just like the WWW, you know, the worldwide net, you have to be able to let the students develop that skill set where they're able to connect, interconnect the dots. The world is interdisciplinary, nature is interdisciplinary. So yeah, that's what I wanted to add.
No, this is great because you're right. It's not just such a linear, subcompartments, and it's opened up, and that's what I like about it. A lot of, and this is, I think, where from my experience, where people get question, well, why are we pushing STEM in the education system? Because it does that. It shows how it's not just science, it's not just technology, it's not just engineering and mathematics. I remember in my science degree, I had more math classes than I had science classes. So that's when you start to see going, wait a minute, there's a lot more to it.
Yeah,
So what is
absolutely.
can you kind of share with us how STEM actually helps us bridge that gap between the old education system to what it should be now?
So, I mean, I'll get asked that a lot, and I keep saying, you know, STEM is not science, tech, engineering, math, that's just the acronym. What STEM truly is a way of thinking. And that way of thinking is to be able to see these interconnections between how the real world behaves and the foundational concepts that we know or need to discover even sometimes to be able to understand what is happening in the world around us. So once you have that mindset, whichever field you are in today, there cannot be anybody, I believe, who can survive without knowing this interconnection. I was just watching a concert by Ed Sheeran a couple of weeks ago, and of course, I'm a fan of his, but of him. But besides the point, I mean, he was alone on that stage with 32,000 people in front of him, and he was recording live at the time because that used to be his background music, and then his syncing and his putting layer on layer on layer. The thing is, he's a musician. He doesn't need to be comfortable with technology. But do you really believe that he could have handled that size of an audience if he was not comfortable with technology? So it is not about becoming a technologist or becoming a scientist by knowing STEM. It is about building a confidence to be comfortable with technology when required. That is
Right.
what STEM is about.
Yes, and that's our reality. No matter where we are now, technology is there. There was a time where we could just say, no, I don't want it, but now we have to
True.
have it. So it's so that's I like it. I also like the other skills that we get from it with the collaboration, because it's interdisciplinary, you do need to learn those skills, those what I call human skills instead of soft skills. But
Yes.
collaboration, creativity, problem solving together, I think it opens up that world for our children. So
Yeah.
that's
So
so
I think
important.
that's very important that you touched upon that because that's the other thing I talk about in STEM. So it's not a one direct, it's not a unidirectional transfer of knowledge. When you are doing projects that are in a group, the biggest skill set that our children or students need to have nowadays is collaboration and empathy.
Yeah.
There is nothing without empathy in this society, and building that empathy, being able to work with peers together to be able to deliver is a skill set that needs to be nurtured.
Yeah.
So I think STEM enables that, the collaborative mindset, the teamwork, along with empathetic design, which is crucial to actually come up with a solution that works for society. Because at the end of the day, technology or science is not useful if it's not helping the society go forward.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that is the crux of STEM education.
Yeah, that's so nice that I like that because I got to experience your program last year when you were doing the
Oh.
symposium, and to watch the children in action. You were doing fractals, and we had little ones in there too, that much too young people would say to understand what fractals are, but just the exercises you were having them do. They were actually coming together, and like the older brothers and sisters were helping the younger ones, and to see
Yeah.
them kind of work. And it was a small group, so we had time to kind of guide them through. But to see that transformation from doing, I'm just doing my own little design,
My
to why don't we add colors to this? Why don't you add another pattern to it? add to it. And it was just beautiful to watch it. It's not that complicated, really. It's just to get them excited about it and get them.
Excited.
Yeah. And that kind of leads me into my next question, especially, and this one will be mostly for parents because parents do have a big role. The children are coming home exhausted and drained and not motivated. And now they have to do homework. So the parents are trying to
Yes.
figure out a way to navigate that as well. Is there something that you would recommend for parents to do to help their children find that passion for learning and finding that motivation to go just a little further and find out more about what it is that they're learning?
I'm so glad you asked that question, honestly, because you're right. The education system, it takes a lot to change a system. So that's not going to happen overnight, let's face it. But at the same time, the society is evolving at a much faster pace than earlier. So, which also means that we need to do something to help motivate our children to go that extra mile. And many a times, parents believe it's the job of the school, and schools believe it's the job of the parent. But I keep reiterating that it's the job of everybody around the child. And all you need to do is offer encouragement and tell them you're there. Because the way you as a parent can motivate a child to ask questions with confidence, irrespective of judgment, no one else can do that. So as a parent, I think the biggest thing that biggest help that you can do, even if you are not from a science background, is to not judge questions that come from the child, rather encourage it and find avenues where those questions can be answered. Now, that could be in the form of you doing a little bit of a Google search and giving them some idea. It could be in the form of telling their teacher, you know, this child, he asked me this or she asked me this yesterday. Would you be able to help them? Go talk to your neighbors, go talk to your friends. But all it needs is that encouragement from you as a parent to let them know any question is a good question. And that's all.
I like
And of
that.
course, there are other things. Of course, there are other things like weekends. You know, you could go to science museums, you can go to the park. The only other thing which I feel is which is very easy to do as well is to encourage them not just to ask questions, it's that power of observation. So if they're asking you about something which they've observed, cultivate that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I love that. And it's not that complicated. We think that we have to get
Not.
so technical, but this is what I like about your view on it and how you approach it is just it's just it flows, you know. So your child has a question. Okay, let's explore that. What do you think would happen? Okay, let's
Yes.
test that out. And okay, this didn't work. So what could we do to make it work? Or and how could we take that further? Or where else do you see this? So there's just all these little you know, these follow-up questions that could just get them really excited about it and not embarrassed to ask questions too, because I think it's so
Yes.
important for them to ask those questions.
True.
And it helps us to start thinking again, because as adults, I find that we've also have gotten a little complacent with the flow of things, and we're just following and we're just, you know,
Yeah.
regurgitating facts. And so I think it's important for us to start working that muscle
I guess it's fun. Once you get into the habit of it, it's fun. And you know, we have every possible information at our tips nowadays as adults.
Yeah.
All it takes is 5 minutes of so I used to do this thing, and I can recommend it to a lot of parents if you have that. Make a diary of the questions that your child asks. You may not have the answers then and there, but you can definitely put aside 15 minutes in a week to go through
Yeah.
those questions together and say, okay, you asked me this, I know the answer. And then give them that answer, whatever you might know about it, or even tell them that, okay, I don't know, let's figure out together. Rather than answering it then and there and putting a full stop to the exploration, it's about opening up the doors rather than closing the door shut with a concrete answer. So I
Right.
think that's a very easy thing to do. And once they ask the children grow, they will have a diary of questions which they can slowly start building up upon as they improve their skill sets.
Yeah.
So,
I
yeah.
like that. I like that. Yes. To ask that question, what do you, yeah. I really like that. I used to always say for those who are shy, some children are shy to give an
Yes.
answer. They're afraid to give the wrong answer
Yes.
because that's basically how our education system works now. You know, if
Yes.
you don't have the right answer right away, it's not a good thing. So I would just say, what's the silliest answer? Or, you know, what is the silliest solution you can come up with so that when we get into the real
True.
solution, the fear is gone. So we could just have fun with it
True.
now. It's so much fun. So we're helping the parents, but the schools as well. What do you think the school's role is in now trying to move into this new way of teaching our children so that they are ready for this new world? What do you think, what kind of role do you think a school should take on now to help kind of guide the parents as well, but to kind of come together and
Student.
get the students fueled up to learn?
As you were asking the question, I was thinking Daniel is making her questions more and more difficult. All right, so
All right, I'm going right into it now.
where do I start? I think for the schools, gone are the days when they used to be this one directional place. And it's not about schools. When I say schools, it actually means educators and teachers. You don't need to give information to students anymore because there's enough technology, enough information source out there. There's an overload of information out there, and children will get that. So I think the role as an educator or as a school has to transform from giving knowledge to something which guides the students in order to find the answers. So there is this overload of information everywhere, and students are as confused as everybody else. So then when you step back, your role as a school or an educator is no longer to tell them the factual answers to questions because they'll do that anyway. What you need to be doing is to what I call this as scaffolded learning. So you give them bits and parts of, you guide them towards finding their answers while giving them the freedom to explore something that you as a teacher or educator may not have thought about. So it is about opening up those avenues and letting the child take the lead on which avenue they want to follow through. And it's okay if it doesn't lead to the right answer, it may lead to a different location and they may come up with something else at that point. So it's more about guiding and mentoring on how to go around this information. Digital age or in the digital world, how to maneuver this digital world without actually feeling lost. Because believe me, a lot of the students, while it's not about them feeling overwhelmed or finding the subjects difficult, a lot of the students feel overwhelmed with the amount of information. So, right, they don't know where to look at. And you as a guide is to make that clearer for the students. As a school, it's to make it clearer for the students while at the same time not be authoritarian. You know, so I think that is the transformation from a knowledge giver to a guide and a mentor or a place where students can explore on their own is what the school or the teaching system or teachers will have to slowly move towards. And we've seen that with generative AI coming into picture. I think the biggest problem with what generative AI has shown us, where everybody is worrying whether the assessments work or not, it is not about the assessments. What it is showing up truly, I believe, it's a mirror to our way of assessing students. It is showing us that we have been testing them for factual knowledge. And isn't it obvious? Because now you have this algorithm which can find you this factual knowledge. So what I love about generative AI right now is it is truly making the educators and the schools rethink what is it that we are trying to give our students, which skill set are we giving our students.
Right.
So
Yeah, I like that. I like to keep it open because it's not necessarily the fact or that one answer, but it's the process of how to get there that
it's
is
the
more important.
process. Yeah.
I like that. I really like that. That's not an easy question. I'm really glad that
I, yeah, all throughout, there's so much to do, right?
there's so
Where do you
much, and I
start?
think that's what happens too with schools. They're especially teachers, they're so overwhelmed with all that information
Yes.
that they need to give, and that's not all they do. So after a while, it's just like, how much more research can I do to make this interesting, right? And it's just let the children discover it. They'll tell you
Yes.
They'll tell you what they
Yeah.
want
We
to
used to
learn.
have these open book tests. Why is it that open book tests work? It's basically the same thing. Right now, every child has an open book because there's ChatGPT, there is Claude, there's whatever other Gen AI tool is out there. What the Gen AI doesn't allow you to do, it will help the students answer something when you know the answer already. It's a deterministic answer. What it will not help the child to do, and which is what we want our children to be equipped with, is if it is what if they can answer the what if, that is something that the Gen AI cannot do.
That is so true.
Right?
Yeah. It's not, if it's not a definite answer, then there's no answer if you're going with
There's no answer.
the AI answers. That's right. No, I like that.
Exactly.
I like that. Yes. Can you talk to us a little bit about STEM Monsters, your company, and the vision that you had for a change in the right direction? So I'll just kind of talk to us a little bit. I know you mentioned it briefly earlier. You gave us an introduction, but can you go just a little bit more detail
I
as to
would
what it is
love
you're?
to. Yeah, I would love to. I'm just thinking in my head, Daniel is asking me this question, and I can go on for hours explaining what we do. How long should we keep it? No, no, but very briefly, I think I'll try to keep it short for the viewers as well. But the vision of STEM Monsters is something that I've been talking about in the last half hour or so. Is the vision is to help the students transform into adults where they have the competency in the subjects. At the same time, they have an interest and inquisitiveness and the power to connect the dots between their foundational skills to what's happening around them. So that is the vision of STEM Monsters, to help children grow up into adults that can solve problems for the society with empathy and competence. That's it. We are sorted as a species. If we can have a generation of youngsters who can do that, I think we don't have to worry about our retirement age.
Right. We're gonna be okay.
Exactly.
I like
So
that.
that's how, what my vision is about STEM Monsters education programs, which is to give the skill sets to the students, which is competency, confidence, learnability, adaptability, and that all comes from having the inquisitiveness to learn at the end of the day. Right? So that's what we do. We do after school clubs. We have online after school programs for students across the world. We learn together. And a lot of this, when I say it's very easy to say these things, but one of the most tangible ways to help students fall in love with learning is to help them do things which are cognitive. So help them do things which are hands-on. Help them do things which involves cutting, messing up, creating a mess. Because the cognitive skills is what triggers the interest. One of the easiest ways to do that. So at STEM Monsters, we are heavily focused on hands-on experiments. At the same time, the way the experiments are designed, it is again not a linear program. So it is very heavily focused on design thinking, which is problem solving, and first principles approach to learning. So for the viewers who may not be aware of first principles approach, I mean, it is something where we believe there is no preformed notion about a topic. We are starting from the blank canvas. Go back to the Stone Age and you have to make a blade. What would you do? Because that is where innovation starts from, where the children do not take facts, equations, definitions as a given. You start from a point where you let them explore what is there without forming a judgment of this is right and this is wrong. So that's what STEM Monsters program does. We work with schools, we work with students outside of India. We are, in fact, well, as you mentioned, Daniel, last year in the symposium and this year as well, we have had students join in from Dubai, from Canada for the symposium. And I think we are at a position where I can see the change. I can literally feel the change happening and educators realizing the need for open-ended learning.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
It's
was it short
no.
enough?
Yes, that's perfect though. I could talk to you
Yeah,
about this all day. I could
I
just keep
know.
you on for the whole week. But no, and this is what I've seen from your programs as well, is it does take some pressure off the teachers or educators because now those conversations have already started naturally. It's just kind of, it's organic. It comes up and then the teachers can just follow the student's lead in that and bring in more resources, bring in a bit more information, and so it takes the pressure off of just finding the answer right away and moving on to the next activity. So that's what I like about it. What's coming up for you? Like I said, I could talk to you about, but is there anything new coming up, or do you have anything? You just completed the symposium, I think, this year, right? It just finished,
Yes,
yeah.
we did. We
And
did.
so I'll leave some information on that in the description as well, so people can have a look at it for next year. But
Absolutely.
do you have any new projects coming up or any new incentive this year to that you're
Yeah,
working
I
on?
mean, what I would like, because I do have this platform now, Daniel, and thank you for giving me this platform. I think we, as a company, as a venture, STEM Monsters Education Programs is literally now poised to start working with schools all across the world. So we are entering that part, that phase of our programs where we have a learning platform which is ready for schools to integrate into. And if there is any school, any organization out there who wants to integrate the programs within the curriculum, which is whether it is IB curriculum or whether it's Cambridge curriculum, we have a system in place where it can be easily integrated into the regular curriculum for the schools, for the teachers. They can get access to this entire curriculum of programs along with teacher training, which can be done. I think technology is the best enabler here because we have everything in the form of a learning management system. And it's the lesson plan, the experiments, the troubleshooting, the offshoots of conversations that are there in every section is now all set up in a way, in a structured platform that we are getting more and more schools to just come on board on the platform and to just take it and integrate it in their system. So if there are any viewers out there who are looking for an open-ended design thinking focused curriculum, STEM program, which is also hands-on at the same time, we would love to get in touch with you and explore a collaboration. So thank you, Daniel, for giving me that opportunity. I'm so excited to share this because this conversation is happening at that wonderful time when we are also starting lot many partnerships.
Yes, and this is great because I used to teach science for the younger children, and just to have that ready for you, you don't have to figure out your lesson plans and you have those such great tools for just to take that burden off the teachers and just have kids excited about learning. I think it's great. And the fact that it's global, this is what I'm excited about, is I can see this even like bringing in different class together. And I think it's great. I think it's this wonderful program. I'll make sure to, again, in the description, what to direct people.
I'll add one more thing just to that. So we got a lot of feedback this year about the STEM Explore Symposium as well. And we had a lot of requests from people asking us to do the shortlisting of the students in various regions. So for the UK time, for the US time, for the Australian time. And fingers crossed, we should be able to enable that in the latter part of this year. So watch out for STEM Explore. And of course, if there is a possibility to bring together schools to work on these programs. If you're looking for world-class programs that you can simply take and integrate and get the children off to a running start on getting inquisitive, would I think we are kind of ready for that now.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm really excited about this to see it kind of expand like that. I think it's so needed, and schools can really appreciate the help as well. I think it's amazing. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's there for them, and it's great. They're great. They're just great activities and questions that you can add. I think it's great. So thank you. And before we give everybody the information on how they can contact you, I have that one question that I know you were worried about.
Oh.
I don't think my regular listeners are used to it by now, but it kind of surprised me today. I was like, yeah, that's right. I still need to explain this question. But it's a question that, of course, I promised a little girl I would ask everybody I interview, and that is, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, so I was a little taken aback with the question when you said, I'm going to ask you this. And but the best part, and I didn't have time to prepare, this is impromptu conversation, right?
I love
So
it. I love it.
my takeaway from the question was, I'm still young.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So what do I want to do when I grow up? I want to build a system. I want to build a platform when I grow up where every child has the opportunity to be able to come up to me. And that's my dream, by the way. It's not even what do I want to do when I grow up. It's like I travel and people can come up and say, you know what, I want to do this, I want to do experiments. And like, yeah, right. Why don't you log on to this platform, do the experiments, and come back to me with the question? So that's what I want to enable. I want to enable fun learning from a young age to every child around the globe. And fingers crossed, just take the possibility that hands-on learning can offer to every child around the globe. That's what I want to do when I grow up.
I love it. I love it. And I just love how you just lit up when you started talking about
Yeah,
it.
I
That's
love
what I know.
it.
That's why I love this question, because you really go inwards and think, what do I want to do? Because we
Yeah.
keep evolving, even as the
Yes.
older children. Not
As the older.
the older adults, we're the older children. So that's
True.
great. Opening it up to the world. I love that. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you're kind of doing it. You just kind of, getting there slowly.
Yes,
It's a
getting
good
there.
expression.
I think technology has a big role to play in that, what it enables us to do. And that's what I talk about when I teach STEM and when I'm talking to education leaders as well. Like, there's a lot of vices with technology that we talk about, but let's not forget the possibilities that it brings along with it. And this
That's
is
it.
one of them. I can literally talk to anybody, and I can literally enable that learning space for anybody around the globe.
Yes.
So
I love that.
it's awesome. Yeah. It's a
That's
good time
great.
to be in the education space for everybody because the world is seeing that change and we need it
I
because
love
the
it.
crisis is imminent. I don't want to end on a negative note, but the crisis is imminent. But at the same time, if you can empower these problem solvers and change makers, a beautiful world, a better world awaits us.
Exactly. The solution is there, is allowing the new world leaders to, the
Yes.
ones that we are kind of teaching right now to be part of the solution. I think it's wonderful. I could really talk to you all day about this, but I will wrap it up there, and
Yes.
you'll have to come back on and we'll just talk some more. But how
It
can
was such a
people?
pleasure.
Yeah, oh no, it's definitely, I'm so long overdue. I've been wanting to do this for so long to have you on, and I just enjoy our conversations every time. It just it's inspiring in a sense to talk to other people who kind of are on that same path, and realize you're not alone.
Yeah, that's why we hit it off, isn't it, the first time?
Yeah, exactly. It's not a lot, and there's the solutions are, you can actually see solutions as opposed to, oh, what are we doing? But there's some solutions that are coming up, and I think it's great. But how can people reach you if they want to find out more about your programs? If they want to read up about the work, the beautiful work that you do, what's the best way to contact you or follow
The
you?
best way, thank you for asking that. Yes, we still need to tell people our coordinates. So the best way to reach me would be via LinkedIn. And if you search for Dr. Sonali Das Gupta and STEM Monsters, I am hoping you would be able to see me. So that's the easiest because I'm very active on LinkedIn. And it's also a very nice window to the work that we do. Outside of that, of course, we have the Instagram channel, the YouTube channel, but I would recommend reach out to me through LinkedIn. That's the best way. Or shoot me an email anytime at sonali@stemmonsters.com with a single M.
Yeah.
That is important, with a single M,
A
because
single
just a name. Yeah, that because a lot of people do STEM monsters, but actually it's a play on the words. And it was actually, would you believe it, my students came up with it, the name
Oh, that's
itself.
nice.
We were brainstorming what names we were used to be called. Curiosity to Learning Club, which was so long that you would sleep off by the end of the third word. So we said we need something so short. And
It.
yeah, so that's how STEM Monsters Education came into being. So shoot me an email with Sonali at STEM Monsters or look me up on LinkedIn, and I would love to get in touch with anybody out there working on similar mission and vision.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much, Sonali, for joining me today. I'm
Thank
really
you very
excited
much.
to have you on and to have that conversation and open it up to the world. I think it's wonderful. So, thank you so much for coming on, and I will put all the information in the description to make sure that people can contact you for more information. Thank
So the
you.
last one, pleasure was all mine.
Oh.
Enjoyed every bit of it. Thank you so much,
I'm
Danielle,
glad.
for having me.
No, this was great. Again, I could keep you on, but we'll wrap it up. And thank you. And again, the invitation stays, so you can always come back on when you have
Oh,
more
we
coming up.
will.
I'd love to have you on. Thank you so much. And for everybody, don't forget to go check out Sonali on LinkedIn and her website as well. And don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening and watching from. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.